8. Not so smooth.
Look who's here! It's Sophie Asante!
Mike Thompson called when Cam, Esme, and I walked into Paige's after school. Forgetting myself, I almost whipped around and asked, where? Good thing I played it cool and waved. But inside, I was squealing. I was finally at Paige's. Paige's looked like a panel from a graphic novel. It had fire engine red walls lined with bookshelves and covered with posters of superheroes. There was a cafe in the corner selling drinks, and the place was packed. The 7th and 8th graders standing in line all glanced at me. Sophie never went to Paige's. They looked surprised, but kind of pleasantly surprised? I couldn't say for sure. Older kids are harder to read. Hey, I said to Mike as I got in line behind him. Cam Esme had been staring so hard at the menu of icy drinks that she clipped my heels and slammed into me. I wobbled, but kept us from tumbling to the floor. Nice reflexes, said Mike, sounding impressed. Thanks, I said, as casually as possible. My heart was galloping like a wild horse because I'd just narrowly avoided making a fool out of myself. Mike was right. Sophie's body was quick. I remembered she used to play soccer when she was younger. That was back before she got so serious about everything. Mike flashed Cam as me, his signature friendly smile. How did you convince Sophie to stop by? Cam as me didn't hesitate. She's treating me to a smoothie. You trying to win a Best Big Sis award? Mike asked me. I totally am, I said. He laughed. I don't know about that. My big sister is pretty dope. I have two big sisters. Cam as me bounced on her toes and stuck two fingers in the air. Mike looked confused. But one of them is not so big right now. She's... Next! The cashier interrupted just in time. I ordered a hot tea with honey to protect my singing voice. Cam as me got a strawberry banana smoothie. The two of us sipped our drinks and browsed the bookshelves. I noticed Mike, JJ, Kayla, and a few other 7th graders taking their drinks to one of the outdoor tables. Should I join them? Maybe I should. I motioned for Cam as me to follow me outside. It was a sunny afternoon, so walkers, runners, and bikers were making their way down the winding paths leading into Buckeye Forest Park. When Camille was tiny, Sophie and I had taken her toddling along that trail. Look at my baby sister now, blazing trails as a 5th grader. But at that moment, baby sis was about to leave me behind. Cam as me had started skipping toward home. I glanced at JJ and Kayla, but then I waved to them and hurried after Cam as me. Sophie would have to make friends another time. Watch where you're going! I called to Cam as me when she almost bumped into a passerby. Something in my sister's carefree swagger made me a tiny bit jealous. Imagine skipping down the sidewalk and being that unbothered by what people thought of you. I guessed I spent a lot of time acting how other people expected me to. Cam as me wasn't worried about expectations. She wasn't focused on the stares she was getting from people on the sidewalk. She was only focused on her joy. That was pretty cool. And surprisingly, her joy looked pretty cool on me. Hey, wait for me, I said, jogging to catch up. And that's when I saw it. A flash of yellow from behind a large tree. Huh? What was that? I paused to look, but whatever I'd seen was gone. Strange. Come on, sissy. Cam as me bounced in place. That flash of yellow appeared again. This time, I realized I was seeing blowy strands of blonde hair. There was a woman standing behind a tree, a blonde woman, who was openly staring at me. Shivers ran down my spine. There was something about her. Let's cross the street, I said, grabbing Cam Esme's hand and zipping across Mill Street once there was no traffic. The lurking lady stayed on her side of the street, but she continued following us, moving from tree to tree. I didn't see her actually switch from one tree to the other, but somehow she just appeared behind the next tree a second later. "How is she doing that?" I asked, confused.
"What's going on?" Kamazmi asked, giggling. "Are we playing hide and seek?"
"Sort of," I said, yanking Kamazmi and hiding with her behind a large oak. "Two can play that game." Kamazmi was all too happy to wait quietly behind the large trunk. I peeked across the street, on the lookout for the blonde woman. Then it hit me. Could this be the woman Becca had warned me about? There was only one way to find out for sure. I pulled out my phone, ready to snap a picture the next time the blonde woman ran from one tree to the other. The only thing was, she didn't run. When she thought we weren't looking, she rolled out on clunky roller skates.
Huh?
With her arms flailing over her head in the wackiest herky-jerky movements I'd ever seen, she careened to the next tree. I saw then that the tree wasn't so much her hiding spot as her break. She didn't have enough control of her roller skates to stop without the help of the tree. When her face was in full view, I zoomed in and snapped a few pics before texting them to Becca. Luckily, Becca responded right away.
"That's her, the blonde woman who's after the bracelet."
I couldn't believe it. This woman had shown up all the way from New York City and on roller skates? Creepy, but also kind of funny.
"Hey, girls,"
the blonde woman shouted. She was trying to make her way to the curb now. She drifted down a driveway slope and started rolling into the street.
"Wait up! I want to ask you something." Whoa! Honk!
An approaching car slowed just in time. The blonde woman swerved away and back to a tree, which she hugged in fear.
"Maybe these skates weren't the best idea," she huffed.
"Let's get out of here," I told my sister, grabbing her hand. We ran down the street and around the corner. I kept looking over my shoulder until I was sure the blonde woman was no longer following us. I didn't want her to know where we lived.
"I think we lost her," I said out of breath.
Kamazmi clapped.
"That was so much fun!"
I shook my head.
"If you say so."
There was no need to scare Kamazmi. The blonde woman was weird, but she wasn't as scary as Becca described. I chuckled to myself thinking of how goofy she'd looked on skates. My phone buzzed. It was Becca. "Becca, is she still there?" "Me. No, we got away in time." "Becca." "Oh, good. Nice job." Hopefully the blonde woman would roll down a never-ending hill, and that would be the last we'd see of her. When we were safely home, we found Dad making dinner and baby Sophie in the living room, watching a robotics competition on TV. I definitely wanted to avoid baby Sophie, but Kamazmi went to join her and demanded to watch cartoons. As the two of them argued, I took that opportunity to slip upstairs. I had something to do. I walked into my old bedroom and sat down at my keyboard so I could practice singing together. I had to get myself ready to shine on Friday. It was funny being in my room again. I realized I maybe missed it a little. I was reviewing the Together sheet music when baby Sophie stomped into the room.
"We need to talk," she barked at me in her cute little voice.
"I'm busy," I said as pleasantly as possible. Didn't want to poke the baby bear with the mama bear-sized anger.
"I don't care," baby Sophie said.
"What do you need?"
"I need you to tell me why I'm in this predicament."
"Aw." Hearing such a big word come out in a little voice was so adorable.
"What are you smiling about?" baby Sophie growled.
The little finger pointing menacingly at me was smeared in an array of colors.
"I had the most ridiculous day. I had to finger paint. And the other kids in the class are monsters. They eat Play-Doh."
I I'm sorry about that, I said, inching away from her finger.
Don't be sorry. Do something! Get me back in my body!
Baby Sophie was screeching now.
What can I do? I asked, fumbling nervously with the bracelet.
Baby Sophie stared at my wrist.
Wait. What is that bracelet? Why am I wearing it?
Does it have to do with what's going on? Before I could answer, Baby Sophie lunged at my wrist.
Give me that bracelet!
She shouted in fury. She pulled and yanked on it, but the bracelet didn't come off.
Why is it so tight? She asked.
It just is.
There's no clasp?
No, I said. It won't come off.
I don't believe you,
she cried, jumping on me like a pouncing cat. I fell off the keyboard bench, my funny bone narrowly missing my bookcase.
Calm down, I shouted, scrambling to my hands and knees. We'll figure this out.
Sophie took advantage of me being lower to the floor, and she belly-flopped onto my back.
I want it now!
I felt like I was wearing a human cape. Every time I struggled to get on my feet, Baby Sophie yanked me onto my knees.
The bracelet doesn't come off, I repeated between attempts to stand. Girls, what in the world is going on here?
I hadn't even heard Mom come into the room.
Camille, what's gotten into you? She gasped.
Daddy told me about your behavior this afternoon, and I couldn't believe my ears. I felt the squirmy weight lift off my back as Mom picked up Baby Sophie.
Sophie, Mom said to me, why are you in here?
Oh, right. Before I could come up with an excuse, Baby Sophie lunged for me again.
Give me that bracelet, she cried.
Mom frowned. You want a bracelet like Sophie's? The last one you had, you lost on the playground, remember? Mom crouched down to Baby Sophie, face to face. That was brave.
I did not lose it, Baby Sophie hollered. Camille did!
Mom sighed. This identity swap game may be too much for you, she told Baby Sophie. Come on, let's give you a warm bath so you can go to bed early. She scooped up Baby Sophie again and carried her out the door.
But I'm not even tired! This isn't over!
Baby Sophie yelled at me. I let out a breath. Mom had been so distracted by Baby Sophie that she hadn't thought to ask where I'd gotten my new bracelet. I sat back down on the keyboard bench. Time to focus on singing. I hit record on the voice app on Sophie's phone so I could sing the first few lines of Together and hear how I sounded. I closed my eyes and sang from the heart. Through the stormy weather, let's stay close together. When the chips are stacked, we'll have each other's back. I played back the recording and gave my performance a listen. Wait. Who was that warbling in my ears? My voice was piercing and way off key. It sounded nothing like when I sang in church or when I sang with my friends. Why did I sound so horrible? Ugh, I realized it then. I was in Sophie's body, so I had her voice. That meant I sang how she sang. Sophie was never one to belt a song, so I'd never really heard her singing voice. Now I knew for sure. My plan to sing in the talent show wouldn't work. But then I had another thought. If I didn't have the vocal skills to be in the talent show, that meant Camasmi did. Original mission scrapped. New plan. Get Camasmi to perform with Sloane and Leah. If Camasmi won, then I would get the free class, assuming I switched back eventually. I would switch back eventually, wouldn't I? Now, I just had to get my parents to let Camasmi perform, which meant I had to do what Sophie couldn't do for me. Go to bat for my kid sister and ask my parents to give her, well, me, a second chance.